WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. My name is Pastor Tom Karras, and I am from Treasure Coast Victory Center in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida. And I'll be sitting in tonight. Luann's out of town, and James are out of town. As a matter of fact, Luann, I got a text earlier this morning that she has now become a grandma. Yes, she has. And what's so exciting about that is her daughter, Anna, who had the baby's birthday is today, and Luann's birthday is today, and now the grandbaby's birthday is today. I don't know how they figured out to do that, but it worked out for them anyway. So I just appreciate them giving me an opportunity. Little Bobby is doing just fine, and Anna's doing fine too. So we're just so happy for her, and I'm sure she's enjoying her very first grandbaby of her life. Praise God. Anyway, I'm from Treasure Coast Victory Center. I'm here. I'm going to be talking to you basically tonight. Instead of Kingdom Recovery, God told me to do Kingdom Discovery. I would like to reveal to you some things about something called the Kingdom of God that some people know some things about, some people don't. So we're going to go a lot to the Bible tonight and slowly walk through here. I got a big letter here on my thing. It says, slow down. So I'm going to stay slowed down because everybody tells me I talk too fast. So I'm going to slow down and go to John's Gospel chapter 3 to start out. In John chapter 3, a Pharisee, a high religious leader by the name of Nicodemus, came to Jesus, and he saw the power that Jesus had and the lifestyle that Jesus had, and he wanted to know how in the heck he got that kind of lifestyle. So John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you again, you must be born again. When I got saved, basically for about 10 years of my life, I was studying the Word of God, and I came across a scripture. And when I got born again, basically everything was about me getting saved, and thank God for the blood of Jesus, and going to heaven. And that's about all I knew at that time. I mean, I was saved and one day going to heaven. But when I came across this scripture here and found out it was one of the only ones that Jesus ever preached on born again, it was his only sermon on there, and he never even mentioned heaven in the entire thing. He said being born again basically does not relate to heaven. It relates to you being born into a kingdom or a kingdom spiritual government called the Kingdom of God. So when I saw that, I thought, gosh, if I'm born into a kingdom, if I'm born into a government, basically the government of heaven, I better start finding out what happened when I got born into that kingdom. And when I got born again spiritually, what happened to me on the inside? Once again, you are a spirit being. You have a soul. You are really the spirit. The soul is your mind, will, emotions, and imagination. And then you live in this physical body. So the day that you got saved, as they call it, you also got born again. And you were born again at that time. Here it says you entered into the kingdom of God. All right, let's look at why the kingdom of God is so important. Just go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, this is an interesting scripture here because basically the disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to know about the end times, much like the church today. Everybody wants to know what the end times are, when they're coming, every time something blows up, why it's the end times. But here in chapter 24, verse 1, it says, Jesus went out and departed into the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered them and said, well, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, and all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things, now notice, are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you and shall hate you of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and many deceive many others. And because of iniquity or sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So here's Jesus talking about the end times. Apparently he had some good wisdom and knowledge in it. And he's telling about all these things that are going to take place. And even today we see them taking place. Right now we have earthquakes, we have hurricanes, we have wars. We have all these things taking place. But Jesus never really says that those things are not the end, but they are the beginning of things to happen. Now, some people say, well, Jesus didn't really give us any kind of answer at all. But if you read the next verse, which is verse 14, you are going to find out that Jesus answered their question. Verse 14, and Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So Jesus says, and I like the word this because it singles out a certain gospel that Jesus wanted preached in this earth realm. He didn't say, just preach any gospel and then the end will come. He said, no, this gospel. It's like, you know, somebody comes up and offers you three candy bars and you say, I'll take this one. That's the one you want. Well, Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom that Jesus said you entered into when you got born again shall be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations. And notice what happens. And then the end shall come. So he gives the answer, basically, saying the end shall come when this gospel of the kingdom, this good news about the kingdom of God, shall be preached to all nations all over the world, and basically then the end shall come. Now, if that's going to take place, then I would have to guess that the church is going to be the one who preaches the gospel of the kingdom. It's going to be awful hard to preach the gospel of the kingdom if we don't know anything about the gospel of the kingdom. And then he goes on to compare it to the days of basically Noah, if you go down to verse 37. Well, look at verse 36. Jesus says, but of that day, talking about the end days and hour, knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the Father knows of the day, but he don't know exactly when that day will be. Verse 37. He compares it to as the days of Noah, so shall also be the coming back of the Son of Man. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, one will be taken, and the other will be left. So Jesus goes on to explain it more, because apparently they didn't have any idea what he was talking about the first time. He said it's going to be like in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, God told Noah to build an ark, of course, and put the animals on there. And Noah was telling everybody, there's a flood coming. There's something happening. Just like the end days. There's a flood coming. There's one coming. Well, basically, nobody listened to him, we know. So Noah just kept working, and it wasn't raining. He kept working. It still wasn't raining. He kept working, even though it wasn't raining. And pretty soon, he came to the point to where the ark was finished. Notice, when the ark got finished, then God released the rain. That means God was not going to release the rain until Noah got finished. So basically, the rain was in God's control, but not in God's time. It was in Noah's time. It was totally up to Noah when the rain was going to come, because it wasn't going to get done until he fulfilled what he was called to do, which was build the ark. So the same way the end times here, the last day is not going to happen until the church fulfills what it's been called to do. And what it's been called to do basically is preach this gospel of the kingdom of God into all the world and all nations. And that word there that you look at, nations, is the word ethnos, really, which means culture, background. So basically the kingdom of God not only is a government, it has a, you know, it has a culture, it has values, it has privileges, it has benefits, it has all these things that we can partake of since we entered into the kingdom of God the day that we got born again. All right, go to John's chapter 8. Let's see what else Jesus has to say. All right, John chapter 8, look at verse 30. Jesus was speaking to some people, and it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. So these were brand new spanking believers. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that we shall be made free? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So here we see Jesus. He's preaching, and some guys got the revelation of who he was and what was going to happen and take place. So Jesus looked at these brand new believers, and he said, if, notice if is something for you to do. He said, if you will continue in my word. Now, he didn't say in the word. He didn't say in some word. He said in my word. And if you've ever read the four Gospels, you're going to find out that all Jesus talked about in all four Gospels was something called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like yeast. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like a seed that's cast into the ground. Jesus' word was all about the kingdom of God. So he said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to follow my words, which what he was preaching was the kingdom of God. Now, notice he wasn't referring to the epistles here because they weren't even written yet. They weren't even available yet. So basically, it was my word, which is you have to continue in your understanding of the kingdom of God to be my disciple. Well, when I read that, I thought, God, if there's one thing I want to do as a pastor is be a disciple of Jesus. I don't want to be a disciple of anybody else. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. So I needed to start to continue and study things about the word of God, because God said then if I did that, I would become a disciple or discipline to him. And the results of continuing in this gospel of the kingdom is you will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. So my next thought was, if truth makes you free, why are there so many bound Christians out there? Why are so many people depressed? Why are so many people sick? So many Christians failing and broke. And is it because they don't continue in his word? Or is it because they're listening to another word that's not the gospel of the kingdom? Or do they not know that they're in bondage and just think that's the way it's supposed to be? Because notice, these Pharisees here and these people said, we're not even in bondage, when they were in bondage. As a matter of fact, they weren't even born again. They were on their way to hell. They didn't even know Jesus that well. So there's got to be a reason why. And for kingdom people, when you start studying the kingdom of God, you're going to discover that sickness is not normal for a kingdom of God person. Sinning is not normal for a kingdom of God person. Failure is not normal for a kingdom of God person. He says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Then he goes on to talk about the difference between a servant and a son. A servant is someone who's trying to impress God, somebody trying to work for God, somebody trying to get God's attention, to manipulate God to do something, where a son is free because he is a son in the kingdom of God. Now, sonship, everybody knows about sonship, and we call ourselves Christians, but you're a Christian, but you're also a son of the living God. In other words, God is really your father, and being a father myself, I know when I was a father, my sons basically trusted me for everything. They came to me, they wanted money, they asked me for money. They needed a ride, they got a ride. Whatever they wanted, because they were my sons. Now, servants are different. Servants have to work, they have to do something for it. So one thing you have to understand when you enter the kingdom of God, that you have to turn on a son mentality. In other words, I am really a son in the family of God. God is my Father. The Bible says that God wants to meet every one of your needs according to His riches and glory. The Bible says God already knows your needs, so why are you worrying about those needs? So that's going to have to transform our mind into a place where we understand that we are actually sons in a real live spiritual family, which is the family of God. So as I studied the Word of God, it started to build trust in me for my Father to do a lot of the things that I was trying to do on my own. So what would I do? I would pray for God to do something, and then I'd go all I could do to get it to get to work. In other words, for it to happen. Well, why did I go to Him to begin with if I was going to do it myself? And most of the time, I couldn't do it myself. So basically, I had to come to a place where I stopped worrying, start getting all upset, where I just trusted God. The Bible tells you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. My God, that'll get you in trouble. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So when we enter the kingdom of God, it tells us basically the kingdom of God is very important to be preached, because when we do that and we fulfill it through the church to all nations, then the end will come. And if we do that, we will be disciples of Jesus Christ, which is all what we're going to do anyway. Everybody says, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Well, if you don't know the word about the kingdom of God, then you're not a disciple, because that's what Jesus taught. So Jesus taught the kingdom of God. As we learn more and more about that, we are disciplined to the way God thinks and to the way that Jesus thinks and the way Jesus acts. And I like the word gospel, because gospel means good news. So He's giving us the good news about the kingdom of God that you entered into the day that you got born again. You are now a citizen in the kingdom of God and a son of Almighty God. All right, look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is Jesus' first sermon that He preached. Basically, He preached in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus' first gospel was thinking something very important. What was it? He told them to repent. Why? Because now the kingdom of God has returned. I believe that the kingdom of God message in this day and age has been somewhat lost in the church. I don't believe it's being taught. I don't believe it's being preached. And because of that, it's not being demonstrated. Because the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 says, the kingdom of God is in power. And if there's power involved, it's got to be kingdom power, which is spiritual power, which is God's power, which means blind eyes should be opened, people should be getting healed, people should be getting delivered, things should be happening in the supernatural realm. So basically, He said, repent. Now, what is repent? We always put repent with sin, and that's okay. But repent here, He's talking about your thought life. In other words, you got to start thinking differently. You got to think like somebody who's entered the kingdom of God. You got to think like somebody who's a citizen of the kingdom of God, like somebody who's a son of God, like somebody who is free from bondage and sin, with somebody with authority. Most of us were taught religious Christianity when we got born again, and all that was about me and my works and how good I was doing. Well, I was never doing very good. Even though I was trying to do good, I never did good. So I was living in guilt and condemnation 90% of the time. But the kingdom of God is not necessarily about your works. It's about God's works and what He did for you on the cross that Jesus Christ provided for you. People say, well, why don't God do something? Well, God did something already. You're just not taking advantage of what He did. Some people say God is about to move. Well, God will move when you start to move and take advantage of what God has given you. Some people say God's doing a new thing. Well, we're not even doing the old thing. I don't know why you do a new thing. We don't even understand that we're in the kingdom of God and the ability and possibilities that we have already. So in the kingdom of God, God has already did many things for us. And when you read the word, you've got to repent, because everything we see spiritually and don't see in the natural, we see it as a future thing, but it's not. The Bible says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's past tense. You have been blessed. The Bible says by His stripes ye were healed. That's past tense, were healed. So even though we don't see it in the natural realm, it is a spiritual truth, and it is part of our inheritance that was given to us when we entered the kingdom of God and were citizens. So it's a legal right for us to live in these things because we're now a citizen of the kingdom of God. All right, go to Mark chapter 1. This is the same sermon, basically, but it's a little bit different take on it. Okay, Mark chapter 1, look at verse 15. This is Jesus' first sermon again. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Basically, the translation is, it is here now. In other words, when did the kingdom come? The kingdom came when Jesus came back. He brought the kingdom with him. And where was the kingdom? It was on earth in the very beginning when God created man. But when Adam rebelled against the kingdom government, basically at that time, he lost the kingdom. Because he lost the Spirit of God, who is basically the power and the authority and everything else in the kingdom of God. And when Adam and Eve failed, they basically became an unrighteous vessel, and the Spirit of God could not dwell in them anymore. So when God created in Genesis chapter 1 man, he was already created in the kingdom of God. He had the authority, he had the power, but then when they sinned, of course, the kingdom of God had to leave. So one of the things that Jesus came back, and one of the most important things, was to bring the kingdom of God back to mankind. That's why he's here. I mean, we celebrate so many things. We celebrate Christmas, Jesus is born. We celebrate Good Friday, Jesus died. Easter, Jesus is resurrected, you know, and the Holy Spirit coming, Pentecost. But we never celebrate the one thing that really Jesus came back to do, and that's bring back the kingdom of God. And it's because we don't do that, people don't know about it. I had seminary training. I took 2 to 4 years in seminary training, and there was not one mention or one class on the kingdom of God. Yet that's what Jesus preached for 4 years. Or for 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's all that he preached. So here he says, the kingdom of God is here. But notice, he doesn't just say repent. He tells you to believe the good news. Now, sometimes believing the good news is hard because we're a lot better at believing the bad news. We're excellent at believing the bad. But the good news is about the kingdom of God is the things that Jesus provided for us on the cross that actually are ours, not when we die and go to heaven. But the day we entered the kingdom of God, all these things came to us. The Bible says that the kingdom of God in Matthew 25:34 is our inheritance. Notice, Jesus is not our inheritance, and heaven is not our inheritance, but the kingdom of God is our inheritance. That's what belongs to us, is the kingdom of God. So basically, as you came into the kingdom of God, what do I want to do? I wanted to study the kingdom of God, so that's what I started doing. I started in the 4 Gospels with Jesus, the words in red, since he knew all about the kingdom of God, and he brought it back for us. And he came basically to pay the price for mankind so we could enter the kingdom of God. And if you study out the scriptures, you'll find out that Jesus is not the kingdom. He is the door, the Bible says, to the kingdom. In other words, he is the way into the kingdom of God. Without him, you can't get in. That's why we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. But when we do that, we not only get heaven, but we also get the kingdom of God. Now, heaven is a byproduct of entering the kingdom of God. Because you entered the kingdom, now heaven is yours, righteousness is yours, peace is now yours, joy is not yours. When I got born again, you know, I was going to church, and basically I was being taught the American church way. I was being taught basically the religious Christianity way, but nobody taught me about the kingdom way. So I had to start going through the Bible and find out what belonged to me in the kingdom of God, and then I had to purposely believe it, because some of it was almost unbelievable. When I saw that I was a new creation in Christ Jesus, you know, I could go to the mirror, but I sure didn't look any different. I looked just like I did before. But this was a spiritual thing that happened to each and every one of us. I was born again of the Spirit, and the Bible says old things has passed away. Now, I had a bunch of old things I wanted passed away. I mean, I had anger. I had alcoholism. I had sin. I had all kinds of things. And to know that all those things passed away with my old person who died on the cross, then I had to start believing I was a new creation. Well, it was hard for me because every time anger rose up, I went back to being the old person, acting like the old person whenever a temptation came. So one of the things the Lord did, which really helped me out, which is something practical, but the Lord will do that to you. He'll give you practical things. He told me basically that I needed to grow a mustache. I said, well, you know, I don't think I can, but I'll try it because basically no hair comes out on one side of my face. It's going to be like a half mustache. But if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do. So I went ahead and I grew a mustache. And basically it was right after I got saved and I was trying to learn all this stuff and study all this stuff. And basically when I'd walk around, all my friends who saw me would make fun of my mustache. They'd say, wow, that thing's really getting full. Wow, a little bit's coming out on the other side. But what they didn't know, they were all saying, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and they didn't know it. So it helped convince me that I was something different so I could take advantage of what the kingdom had provided for me. All right, look at Matthew chapter 13. We are all living far below the privileges and the things that Jesus provided for each and every one of us, and the kingdom opens those things up to you. Basically, heaven delays everything until you die and go to heaven, where the kingdom is right now. The day you got born again. If you got born again 40 years ago, that was the day you could start taking advantage of being in the kingdom of God. Not wait until you die, because I'll tell you, when you go to heaven, you're not going to need much peace. I heard there's plenty of it up there from what I've read. There's plenty of joy up there. And if you can find a devil up there, you'll be awful lucky, because there's none up there to cast out. So we want to take care of all these things and take advantage of it here on the earth. Right, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is teaching here. And verse 18 says, hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives the seed by the wayside. Here we see someone who has heard the word about what? About the kingdom of God. In other words, they went to a church. The pastor was preaching about the kingdom of God. They heard the word for the first time. And when they heard the word of God, notice they didn't really understand it, because it's such a different way of thinking and living. It's a victorious lifestyle. All at once, the I said he was sent to preach the kingdom. healed by Jesus because the kingdom of God had arrived. Now, if the kingdom of God arrived when Jesus was here, he preached the kingdom, he made an entrance for us to get in the kingdom, and now we're in the kingdom. All these things are available to us today as kingdom citizens. Jesus didn't come to show us what we couldn't do in the kingdom. He came to show us what we could do in the kingdom of God. That's why he says, the same works that I do, you will do also. Why? Because you're a kingdom citizen, you're becoming my disciples, and you have kingdom power. Well, what can you do? Well, I can heal the tormented, I can heal the sick, I can take care of the lunatics, I can do all these things because I've entered into the kingdom of God, not once again when I die and go to heaven, but right now, the day that I got born into the kingdom of God. All right, Luke chapter 9. All right, Luke chapter 9, look at verse 1. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. Verse 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus has got a one-track mind. Now he's got his disciples. He's got the ones he's been teaching, the ones that have been following him. He says, I want you to go and I want you to preach something special. I want you to preach the kingdom of God. And then he gave out of his authority and out of his anointing the power for them to heal all disease and to cast out all devils. In other words, to demonstrate the kingdom of God. He sent them forth to preach. Jesus said, as I have been sent forth, so I send you. Oh, he was sent forth to do what? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Why are we sent forth? To preach the gospel of the kingdom. And if you continue in his word, then his word basically is the kingdom of God. You will also become a disciple of him, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All right, just go up to Luke 10. Jesus once again talking to his favorite disciples, and in verse 8, he says, and into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you, eat which things are sent before you. And when you're there, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh you. In other words, the kingdom of God is here. So once again, he's telling his disciples what to do. And I mean, I really believe with all my heart, if that's what he sent his disciples out to do, then he's doing the same thing now. He wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to teach and learn and understand the principles of the kingdom of God and teach other people because that's what releases the power of God. Hallelujah. If you remember earlier, we read about Nicodemus when Jesus preached about being born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus. I mean, he was a higher up in religion, man. He was one of the top ones. And he came there and he wanted to know why Jesus was the way Jesus was. No, notice what drew him. What drew him was that Jesus was doing these mighty miracles that no one else was doing. So it was the power of God from the kingdom of God that drew him in, and knowing that he was missing something, so he came to Jesus. So Jesus tells his disciples, what do I want you to preach? The kingdom of God, and then I want you to demonstrate the kingdom of God power that is there. All right, go to Matthew chapter 9. As I started studying this stuff, I really wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. I don't want to be a disciple of anybody else. I didn't want to teach what anybody else was teaching. I read books from other people which helped me and everything else. But I wanted to teach what Jesus taught. I figured if he taught it, I couldn't hardly go wrong if I taught the same thing. So I started studying the kingdom. And the more I studied it, the more it set me free, understanding the wonderful things that he has done for each and every one of us. All right, Matthew chapter 9 this time. It's time we're going back to Jesus. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Man, it's all over. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus was going to every village. He was going to their synagogues, to every city. He was going into their churches of that day and age. He was preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and then demonstrating that kingdom power by healing every sickness and every disease. All right, go to Acts chapter 1. Let me just mention to you that there's several books that God has had me write. One of them is called What Now? Basically, it's sort of a beginning book that shows you when you get born again, you get in the kingdom of God, how you can live in victory. And the second one is all about the kingdom of God. That's all it's about. It's about its laws. It's about its ways. It's about the Constitution. It's about everything in there. And I have one last one that basically is just a daily thing where you go and you can read it every day and meditate on the scriptures. So I have What Now? I have one called Kingdom Now, and there's one called No More Bad Days. And these are all available to you. They are absolutely free. As soon as we wrote them and brought them out, God said, I want you to get those things out to people. We need to get this message out. So we give them out to people for free. Everybody at Treasure Coast Victory Center has access to them. They'll get them out to you. It will help you understand what I'm trying to get across to you somewhat in an hour tonight. It'll help you, especially the second one will help you about the kingdom of God. So you can just contact the station here. You can contact Luann. You can contact us at mytcvc.com, or you can contact us at Treasure Coast Victory Center, and we can get them out to you, and they will definitely help you. And like I say, the price is right. They are absolutely free. Hallelujah. All right, look at Acts chapter 1. It says, the former testimonies have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, and given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. Well, what did he do in those 40 days? Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So not only before Jesus went to the cross, but after the cross, as soon as he was raised from the dead, he goes back to his disciples, and what does he preach again? He preaches the kingdom of God of things pertaining. He's trying to get the point across that this kingdom of God message will set people free. It'll help people understand about the kingdom and things that are going on. All right, just jump up to Acts chapter 8. All right, Acts chapter 8, look at verse 12. This is Philip, one of his disciples. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, this isn't Jesus. This is Philip. This is one of his disciples. Basically, what was he doing? He was going around preaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Philip simply obeyed Jesus' command that he's actually given us. He's told us to go and preach the gospel to all nations, heal the sick, cast out devils, speak with other tongues. That's what he's commanded us to do, but the church has lost it somewhere along the line. We're spending too much time trying to change ourselves rather than let the kingdom of God change us and the word of God and the spirit of God change us into who we really are. So healing basically is provided for today. Is provided for you in the kingdom of God. When you were born of the kingdom of God, it was given to you as part of the kingdom of God. Peace was given to you. Joy was given to you. That means if peace was given to you, you never have to worry again for the rest of your life unless you choose to. Because you can. You can choose to worry if you want to about everything if you want to. But that doesn't help anything. Worry never did anything but give you high blood pressure. It's not going to help you at all. But you now have authority over worry. You don't have to do it. You are a ruler. You've been put into a place with God now in the kingdom of God where you can rule and reign because you've been made a king and a priest. All right, go to Acts chapter 28. There's an exciting life for you since you've been born again. If you've been saved and every day you're learning a little bit and trying to learn a bit and just reading because you're supposed to and go to church because you're supposed to go to church, and there's an exciting life there. It's more than just doing that kind of stuff. It's going to church to learn about what God has done for you and what abilities you have right now. It gets you to a point where praise and worship is really praise and worship. You're praising and worshiping him for all the nice things and the great things he's done and provided for each and every one of us. It changes the reason why you do things in your life. And you want to read the word because you want more revelation. You want to become in alignment with him. All right, Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 30. This is the Apostle Paul. Of course, he wrote most of the New Testament. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in. So there's Paul in this house for 2 years. What the heck? Paul, what were you doing there for 2 years? Verse 31. He was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. For 2 years, I mean, he must have had some material to do 2 years. And for people to come in all the time, there's another one where he was preaching, and he preached along from morning to night that somebody fell out of the window because they fell asleep, and he had to go down and raise them from the dead. And, you know, in this day and age, you preach Sunday morning for a half hour, and people start to yawn at you, for goodness sakes. We have got to come to a place where we understand how important this word is to our life. It is our life, and how we need to change, and how we need to repent, and how we need to adjust the things that we are thinking to line up with God's kingdom. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 16. Now Jesus starts to expound a little bit on the kingdom of God. Luke 16, look at verse 16. Jesus says, the law and the prophets were until John. Now, of course, he's talking about John the Baptist there. So the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Once again, these are Jesus' words. He says, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Well, since that time, since what time? Since the time of John the Baptist, now it should be preached, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Now, why does every man press into it? Because it's what mankind lost in the garden when Adam sinned. There's a vacuum on the inside of us for this kingdom, for this authority, for this position that we had before Adam sinned. So when it's preached the kingdom of God, it's telling people of something that they need on the inside that they're missing, but they just don't know what they're missing, but it's the kingdom of God. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, which we all were, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is the answer to us being poor in spirit when we were sinners, when we were down, when we were depressed. The kingdom of God is what got us born again, got us on top, got us to be victors now. So basically, he said, men press into it. He said, the law and the prophets were until John. Well, what were the law for? The law was basically a bunch of rules and commands for people in the Old Testament so they could be in right alignment with God and be in righteousness. And of course, because people had an evil nature on the inside of them because of what Adam's sin provided for every man after him, basically they could not keep the law anyway. And the prophets came, and about all the prophets, what did they prophesy? The king is coming. The kingdom is coming. The Redeemer is coming. The kingdom is coming. Well, now Jesus says the law and the prophets were until now. Why? We don't need the law anymore because you don't have to do the law to become righteous. You're righteous, therefore you'll do the law. Hallelujah, I love that. In other words, you're already born again. Jesus made you righteous by the blood, not by your works. You could never get there. But because I'm righteous now, and that's who I am, I will naturally do righteous things because that's who I am. He said, and the prophets will until now. Well, the prophets don't have to say the kingdom's coming because the kingdom's here. They don't have to prophesy that Jesus is coming and the king is coming because the king is here. Yet we still see prophecies out there prophesying things in the future of the kingdom of God that are already here because the kingdom is here right now. So the law and the prophets, now what is preached in this day and age should be preached? It should be the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right, look at Mark chapter 9. All right, Mark chapter 9. Let's just start right there in beautiful verse 1. All right, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them which stands here that shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now this tells us one thing, that when the kingdom of God comes, it's going to come with what? It's going to come with supernatural power from the kingdom of heaven itself. But notice also he says there are some that stand here which shall not taste death or die till they see the kingdom of God come. So people want to say, well, you don't get into the kingdom of God until you die to go to heaven. Well, that means there must be some people who are 2,026 years old right now because there are some people standing there who are going to see the kingdom of God come. So that's not true. The kingdom of God came when Jesus Christ came back. Look at verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, led them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, and as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto him Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he was wist not what to say, because he was sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So here we see the meeting on the Mount of Transfiguration, people call it. I think it was the Mountain of Transference is what I really think it was. What took place? Well, Jesus met with Moses. What was Moses? Moses was the one who brought the law, basically, to mankind, so he represented the law. Elias was there. Elijah was there. What was he? He was one of the prophets, so he was representing the prophets at that time. Jesus, I believe, met with them and said, Hey, Moses, my gosh, you did a great job while you were down there with the law. Elias, you did a wonderful job, too, while you were down there. But now there's going to be a dispensation change that's taking place. No longer hear Moses' law, no longer hear the prophets, but now hear ye him, or hear my Son, which is Jesus Christ. So once again, he reiterates what in John chapter 8, what he said. He said, If you continue in my word, Jesus said. Well, the Father says, Now hear ye him, hear my Son. Why do I want to listen to his Son? Because his Son taught nothing but the kingdom of God. Now hear him, because he's the one preaching the kingdom of God. And notice what the disciples did. They were so much into the Old Testament and the Old Testament ways, they said, Let's make three tabernacles. In other words, let's put this power in a box someplace. That's what we do. We put it in the Ark of the Covenant. We do this. Jesus was trying to demonstrate them, and these were the three pillars of the church. Man, the ones that were going to be the foundation for the church, basically. Why was he doing that? He was going to show them that the power of God and the kingdom of God was no longer going to live inside a tabernacle or a box. It's going to live inside human beings who enter the kingdom of God, and the power of God and the ability of God is going to be on the inside of them. So what does the Father say? This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So I went back to the four Gospels and started hearing ye him. Again, studying the gospel, studying the word of God. After that, I went to the epistles and I saw how they lined up with the nature of the kingdom and the character of Jesus in the kingdom. So basically, the kingdom of God is something you have to study. It's something you have to look at and go for. Look at Matthew 6. Jesus talks about this. All right, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus once again is speaking in verse 33, very familiar scripture. He says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, Jesus was talking about the things that we need, things we need to eat, things we need to drink, mortgage payment, car payment, all these things, kids' college that we need. And Jesus was talking to them and telling them to stop worrying about those things that they worry about. And why is that? Because their priority's wrong. Your priority has to be to seek first the kingdom of God in everything that you see, everything that you do. There's always a way to respond the kingdom way, and there's a way to respond a different way. And I responded the different way, and it doesn't work out very good most of the time. So I decided to start finding the kingdom way and responding that way because it worked out a lot better. One of my favorites is basically a soft answer turns away wrath. That's kingdom. Before that, a louder answer turned away and built up my wrath. And who could shout the loudest? And who could call somebody the worst name? And who could scream and who could holler? And you left there feeling like you got ran over by four bulldozers, because that's not the kingdom way. So the kingdom way is simply a soft answer, turns away the wrath, breaks the problem that's there, the thickness that's there, and sets you free. So Jesus came and he said, I want you to seek the kingdom ways first and then stay in right alignment with the kingdom of God. And basically, it's his righteousness, not ours. It's God's righteousness, and we became his righteousness when we were born again. So we want to stay in right alignment with God. So one thing that takes you out of the right alignment with God is worry. And I know everybody out there, well, I worry sometimes. Well, you don't have to. Once again, you are choosing to worry at this time. You don't have to worry. And if notice, if you do this, if you seek first the kingdom, my priority, and stay in right alignment with the kingdom and its laws, all these things that I prayed for years, all these things I worried about for years, all these things I had anxiety over for years will be added to me in the kingdom. Now they become God's responsibility. And I'll tell you what, he is a very, very good provider. People say, what's my destiny? I'll tell you what your destiny is. It is the kingdom of God itself. It is seeking the kingdom of God. Jesus' entire life was to come, bring back the kingdom of God to man, and then open a way for man to re-enter the kingdom of God by dying on the cross and giving us an opportunity. Man's purpose was never religion. It was never traditions. It was never about going to heaven. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God. And yes, you're going to heaven when you die, but what are you going to do from this time until you do die? See, you should be seeking the kingdom of God and being fulfilled in what God has called you to do. Let me just get off course here for a little bit. You have been given something to do in the year 2026. Everybody has. God just doesn't create people for the heck of it and throw them out there and put them out there. No, the Bible says he knew you before the foundations of the world. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He put you in your mother's womb. You were born, and he did it with a purpose for you to do in this day and in this hour. Well, if that purpose is a kingdom purpose, which it is, because that's what God wants, is the kingdom of God. His will be done back on earth as it is in heaven. He's trying to get the kingdom of God ways, the kingdom of God culture, the kingdom of God power back into this earth realm. So by him doing that, basically, if we don't know about the kingdom of God, we're going to live unfulfilled. How are you going to be fulfilled in what you were created to do, what God put you in the womb to do, picked you out and put you here, if you don't know anything about the kingdom of God, when your job is to spread the kingdom of God that you know nothing about? So it's important for your purpose, it's important for your fulfillment, it's important for your destiny to know about the kingdom of God. God's purpose will be fulfilled, notice, not when you get to heaven, but when man on earth is ruling on earth, because that's what we were put here to do to begin with, then the destiny will be complete. All right, let's go to John chapter 17. All right, John chapter 17, look at verse 14. Jesus once again is talking. He says, I have given them thy word, talking about us and his disciples, and the world, when the world has hated him, because they are not of the world, even as I am of the world. Notice, you're not of this world, you're in it, but you're not of it. Verse 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am of the world. Now, this is interesting because a lot of people in the church are praying to go to heaven. They're praying to get out of here. And here's Jesus, right before he dies and goes away, he's praying that you stay here. He's saying that your purpose is here. Your fulfillment is here. Your management here on earth is here, is what you're supposed to be doing. God placed you on earth. He gave you power. He gave you dominion. He gave you authority in the kingdom of God to you. And heaven does not need you up there. Heaven is not your destiny. The kingdom of God is your destiny. Now, religious Christianity told me it was all about going to heaven someday. Someday it'll happen. Well, I got born again and entered the kingdom of God when I was 30, and now I'm a little older than 30. And basically in the last years from now until, you know, I got here right now, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't do because I didn't have any idea that I had anything here to do. I just thought I was supposed to make enough money to put my kids through school, to have enough money to live on, to be nice to my wife and die and go to heaven. I didn't know there was something there that I was supposed to be doing for God. You know, I was created not only by him, but for him. There was a purpose for me to be here. So basically, kingdom-minded people don't want to go to heaven. They want to influence the earth now. They want to impact the earth now. They want to make a difference in people's lives right down here, right now. So what did Jesus do? He prayed to keep us out of heaven and to keep us here on earth. So if you've been praying to go to heaven a whole bunch, you're not going to do very well because Jesus' prayer is going to do more than your prayer anyway. You're wasting your time. All right, go to Revelation chapter 5. All right, Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 9. This is talking about up in heaven when they open the books. Verse 9, it says, Revelation 5, 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Of course, it's talking about the Lamb of God, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at verse 10. And he has made us, you and me, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. We're not going to reign in heaven. There's already a king there, and you're not going to dethrone him. His name's God. We are kings when we were down here on earth. That's why he put us here. We are kings over the earth under the king. That's why there are king of kings and he's lord of lords. We're the king he's over and we're the lord that he is over. So basically, we're going to end up back down here on the earth sooner or later anyway. Heaven is just going to be a holding place for each and every one of us until the time basically when the new heavens come and the new earth comes and all that's in the distance someplace. But I just want to show you that the earth is where he wants you right now. This is where he puts you right now. He doesn't want you in heaven right now. People say, well, he's taking them home. Well, if it's time for you to go home, that's fine. But if you're a young man, it's not time for you to go home yet. You've got a lot to fulfill yet, a lot to do. I want to get everything done that God wants me to do. And when I do, bye-bye. I'm out of here. I'm done, finished, no problem, no nothing. Should be just fine. All right, let me give you one more. Go back to Revelations chapter 1, since you're already in Revelations. It'd be easier for you to find. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, I heard that for years, and I was so happy that he washed me from my sins, praise God, and he forgave me and everything. But nobody ever told me about verse 6. And has made me a king and a priest unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. That means that I am a king and a priest. When? When I die and go to heaven? No. I can't be a king up there. He's already king. I was a king down here on earth. I am part of God and sons, and I'm here on earth at this time. And what am I here to do? I'm here to manage and extend his kingdom here in the earth realm to help other people understand that there's a better life than they're living. There's a better life than the usual Christian life. There is a kingdom life where God has supplied every single thing that you will ever need according to his riches and glory. So just, it's very simple, the Christian life, is you just seek first a priority, the kingdom of God. So every day I make a point of sometime during that day, I read one of the parables, I read something about the kingdom of God, I read something about, you know, how to live in the kingdom of God, about follow Jesus, about his character. What am I doing? I'm growing up in the things of the kingdom of God, and I'm being set free more and more every day. And that's my heart. I want to see people free. That basically is what God has called me to do. So it's very simple. Just study it. If you need a book, contact the station here. You can contact us once again. We're mytcvc.com. You can get a hold of us. If you like the sermon, want to hear more about the kingdom, our messages are on there every Wednesday night and every Sunday is still on there. You just go click on messages and it will definitely bring you up to a place to where you can start understanding more and more about the kingdom of God. Let it get exciting for you. Christianity needs to be exciting. Kingdom even makes it more exciting. So this is a time in your life where you can step out and you can do it. Praise God. All right, I just want to pray for you now. Father, I just thank you for every single person that heard this. I thank you for every single person who it's registered on the inside of them, that it's filling that void right now. Because of that, alcohol has to leave their life. Drugs have to go in the name of Jesus. Anger have to leave in Jesus' name. Everything that's filling that void other than the kingdom of God must be gone right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I release your Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Holy Spirit, show them what they cannot see in the natural. Show it to them spiritually. Reveal to them all the things that God has given to them through what you did on the cross. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Thank you for listening. I love you, and I just pray that you continue to grow in the kingdom of God and in the things of God, and we'll...
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. The sun.
The curse was sin to save my death. Death was overcome.